welcome to In Addition this week. Joining me is Pastor Marsha, and I am Pastor Daniel for our first edition of In Addition. for our first question.
Yes.
In Addition is all about going deeper into the sermon series. And I just want to ask you if there's anything that you feel you wanted to share that you either didn't have time or that you've ruminated further on during this series that you wanted to talk more about with prayer.
Well, there's so much to talk about. It's such a big topic. It's such an important topic because it is the primary means of our growth and our faith and our relationship with the Lord. And the first of the three messages, I presented something that I thought was really commonly known. It's an acronym for prayer, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. I have since learned from folks who've responded to the message that they didn't know about that structure and that has been really helpful for them already. You know, first to adore the Lord, then to confess our sins, then to give him thanks, to express our gratitude, and then supplication, which is just a fancy word for asking God for what we want, what we need, prayer concerns of others that we know about in our lives. I de-emphasized the S because of what R.C. Sproul had written about it, which is that we tend to jumble that ACTS acronym and make it SCAT. So we take our long list of to-dos to God and say, heal this person, give this person more money, do this for me, do that for my neighbor. You know, we tend to just ask God for specific help in specific situations rather than spending the time to acknowledge who he is and those other parts of the acronym. So I haven't talked a lot about supplication, but I know that that's something that people want to know. Like, how do we ask for help for people, and does it make a difference?
Yeah. And you do a lot of hospital visits, and is that a big part of being in a hospital and being in that uncomfortable situation with a family? They're looking to you as the pastor to know the answers and to know what to do in these situations. And it seems a lot of times all you can really do is pray.
Right. All I can really do is pray. I'm glad you used that phrase because people do say that. Like, I don't know what else to do, so I can pray. And even in when tragedies come, you know, you see it on Facebook, for example. If something horrible has happened, you go to the timeline of a person who has experienced a great loss, and you just see hundreds of people saying, I'm praying for you, my thoughts and prayers are with you, that sort of thing. And we do that when we feel helpless, and yet, do we or don't we believe that prayer really does help a person? And I believe that it does. So I go into those hospital situations, and even if I'm not making direct visits to the hospital, I do believe that through the requests that we receive on a weekly basis, through our, we have prayer cards that come in through the offering plate, and we receive prayer requests through the app, the Northgate app, and through email. I sit with those cards and those prayer requests, and I'm praying for God's presence to be in that hospital room with that person. And I may not have all the answers. I don't. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how or why God answers prayer specifically in any given situation. I don't know why a terrible accident happened in the first place. But I do know that God is good. And I do believe that God's presence in our lives and in any given situation will make a difference for good, will improve the situation, will give us peace, will give us strength, will give us comfort. So that's what I'm praying for in those situations. Even though I don't have all the answers, I believe that Jesus is the answer. That sounds cliche, and there are so many cliches, right? Even the phrase thoughts and prayers has come under fire politically in our country. Everything comes under fire politically in our country, it seems. But when there are cliches, I think that they're based on truths. I think that they're based on common experience. And and my experience and the experience of so many other believers in Jesus and followers of Christ is that he really is the answer, and his presence in our life makes all the difference.
Yeah. Do you think it's because it's often seen as inaction and they underestimate the power of prayer because it's seen as a like a cop-out to actually doing something when we're only praying?
Well, by all means, make the cookies or bring the casserole too. You know, if you can think of something, some practical way of supporting a family in crisis, bring them a gas card. You know, all those trips back and forth to the hospital, I know that as somebody who just goes to visit, but certainly somebody who's going on a daily basis. So yes, think of ways, practical ways that you can help, but know that prayer is also a practical way that you can help. I think we talked about this yesterday in our staff meeting, and I'm going to actually refer to the scripture that Pastor Vern shared from James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. He said, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church." We are elders of the church, Daniel. "To pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." And it says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Now, these are dangerous words, right? This is a dangerous book. It's a powerful book. I think sometimes the reason that people hesitate to pray for healing or pray for something good, a miraculous thing to happen in a friend or neighbor's lives, even in their own lives, is that God might say no. Mm-hmm. We all know people who we've prayed for who didn't get well, or if you put a different perspective on it, did not get well this side of heaven. And that's what we prayed for, that's what we hoped for, that's what we expected, and it didn't happen. And I don't pretend, again, to have the answers for why, but I still believe that God is good, and I do believe that God invites us into conversation and commands us to pray on all occasions. And so that's why we keep on praying. We know that God can heal someone, can bring about miracles, and sometimes we witness those. So we keep on praying, even though we don't understand how it all works.
Yeah, I think in my past, before I was attending church regularly, I knew that there was a God that existed, but I treated him more as a genie God, mm-hmm. a God that I would only bring out of my dark corners when I needed something, or when I wanted something, or felt that I needed something. Is there anything, and this is a very difficult topic because it's so, we're just asked to pray. Mm-hmm. We're not asked to understand how that prayer is going to affect the world or affect the lives. As pastors, we're asked a lot of difficult questions. So I'll ask you a difficult question.
Oh, go for it, Daniel.
Do you think that prayer changes God's mind in a situation?
That is a difficult question. We have evidence in Scripture that would suggest, you know, we have situations. I'm thinking of Moses when, you know, the Israelites were having a big party around a golden calf instead of worshiping the true God. And God said, God told Moses, "I'm so angry that I'm going to, my anger is burning and I'm going to consume these people. Can you believe how ungrateful they are?" And Moses said, no, "Have mercy, God. You're a merciful God. You made a promise to these people to bring about, you know, millions of descendants and to fill the earth." And so God, or Moses, pleaded with God, and then right there in the scripture it says God didn't do it. He didn't consume them. Yeah. So that's just one example.
He relented.
I believe that is the word in the NIV, in the New International Version. But then other times, you know, like I said, we pray, we plead with God for the healing of a dear friend. And I'm thinking of a dear friend that I prayed for years ago who's now in heaven rather than here on earth with us fulfilling the ministry that we all believed that God called him to do. So we don't understand all the if, ands, and hows of prayer. When I was a child, my least favorite thing to hear was because I said so. My mother in particular used that line a lot. You know, she would tell me to do something or tell me I couldn't do something, and I would ask why, and she would say, because I said so. And that was not a satisfactory answer for me. And yet, I now understand, even though I have avoided using that phrase with my kids because I know how much it bugged me, yeah. I have essentially said the same thing to them. I have tried when I could to explain the reasons for my decisions. But sometimes when they've been too young or it's just too complicated and I can't provide an adequate explanation for the mind of a child, I've had to say, look, I love you. My goal in life is to protect you and nurture you and bring you up in the best way I know how. You're just going to have to trust me on this. And I think when it comes to prayer, you're right. God tells us, just do it. We're commanded to pray. We're invited. We're commanded, but I see it as an invitation into a relationship with a loving God who is far beyond me in terms of parenthood, obviously. He has all the wisdom that there is and all the love that there is. And ultimately, we just have to put our lives and the lives of those we love into his hands and trust that he knows best and that he's going to work all things together for our good, to quote the scripture. Sometimes we pray just because God said so.
Yeah, I think it makes me think of when Jesus himself was praying in Gethsemane, and he asked God to take this cup from me. He didn't want to go through with the plan that they had set forth, and even Jesus praying and petitioning to God, sometimes it's if it's not in his will, it's not in his will.
Sometimes God says no, and we don't like that. There's that popular country song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, and I'm not a huge country music fan, but when I hear that song or hear about that references to that song, I think, well, is it really unanswered, or did God just say no? And the person preferred to leave that as a maybe and leave it on the shelf and call it unanswered. And sometimes God says to wait. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God works things out in a way we couldn't possibly have asked or imagined, again, to make reference to the scripture. God is greater than we are. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Yeah. I think oftentimes we get stuck in the mindset of this earthly life, mm-hmm. and that death being so ultimately like the end for us, mm-hmm. and we forget about heaven and the eternity that it has. And so even if a prayer is not answered and the person dies or the person's seriously injured, I think just because of our location as humans, we often think that it's unanswered, mm-hmm. or it's been not looked upon with the ability to be true.
Well, we don't know what heaven looks like. You know, it's that uncertainty. So you're right. It's our geography as humans. This is all we know for now. And so prayer is a matter of faith and trusting that this isn't all there is. This isn't the end. We will be together again with the friend who died. We will be all together again in heaven, and God will make it clear. Everything that is so fuzzy to us now will be crystal clear, and it will be wonderful. There will be no tears, no sadness, no anger, no frustration, no more struggle in that life that is to come.
Yeah, Wasn't it in the garden that humans wanted to know too much too soon that caused us this this situation that we're in
and
now?
The whole mess started in the first place.
So what's coming up in this series that you want to share or talk about or just kind of give us a little tidbit of?
Well, this coming week is our final week in the series. It's a three-part message series, and it certainly won't be the last lesson about prayer here at Northgate, but it will be the final one in this series that we're calling In Tune. I've been kind of carrying through a musical analogy throughout the whole thing, and so to carry that through to the third week, I am presenting a few of the greatest hits of prayer from the Bible. And it's going to be a different format than what I have shared the first 2 weeks. I won't call it a theatrical approach, but I will be giving sort of a biological sketch of three people who have prayed noteworthy prayers, famous prayers, well-known prayers, and then we'll talk about what we can learn from those and how we can use God's Word, use the Bible to pray when we don't exactly know what to say.
Outstanding. Well, as the series calls for prayer, would you like to close us in a word of prayer?
That's a wonderful idea. I would love to do that. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love and your generosity and your goodness. We thank you that you've helped us figure out a lot of things in life, including this amazing technology that is broadcasting our conversation to thousands of people in this very moment. Chalk that up to one of many things I don't understand, but Lord, you are full of knowledge and wisdom. And we just want to accept your invitation to be in relationship with you. I pray for anybody who's listening now who doesn't really understand what I mean by that, but is interested and wants to know you. I pray, Lord, that in this very moment, they would just whisper a quiet yes to you, and that by your Holy Spirit, you would meet with them and lead them and guide them into a deeper understanding of who you are and how you want to befriend them and walk with them through all of life's difficulties. Jesus, you said, in this world, we will have trouble, but you invited us into relationship, and you told us to take heart because you have overcome the world. We believe that your love will surpass all these troubles, and we thank you for allowing us to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Marcia, for joining me today.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel.
Will you be attending the Star Spangled Celebration tonight?
I certainly will. I brought patriotic attire to change into later today. I will be at the information booth to provide a welcome to newcomers and information to anybody who comes about services and groups and other things that they might like to know about Northgate Church.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I will be there, not selling, but giving away popcorn and cotton candy.
Ah, the cotton candy machine will be back in action.
So we'll be there. That starts at 7 o'clock tonight, and it's right here at our North Campus. I thank you for joining us today, and our next In Addition is going to be on July 18th, and we'll be right here. So we hope to see you then. Thanks.